It won't take too much time tonight because I know you're all super busy and there's just not a whole lot to say on the audio, but if you want to talk individually, feel free. We are moving ahead with 100% hedges for the brokerage clients in the soybeans. We're going to break that down so that, and you can see this on section 7. I've updated the hedge slide at the very bottom of this blog post, but we're going to move the brokerage to 100%, 60% in puts. That's going to be an increase of 15% from where we were at. And then cash is going to go to 40%. That's an increase of 10%. For cash only clients, we're going to go up 15% from 30 to 45% hedged. And be watching cash clients for more cash related sales as we get into the early part of March. So that's where we're headed. And the key here, I think, is to start off with is the original, to explain my original plan was to lift out of the puts, protecting our crop insurance base price. And then if we got towards the end of February, take about half our value out of them. And that's where they're essentially at, is we're about half our value, plus or minus, of where we bought them back at the end of January. But what has changed? Well, I can tell you that if you look at section 2 as we talk here, you've got two conflicting news stories wedged in between a chart that I think is fairly powerful when it comes to your overall risk management. And I felt as though I've talked about 2018 a lot, and I felt as though with record world soybean ending stocks, and we're now hitting 30%+ harvest in Brazil, and it appears that even though we've got some quality and maybe some issues with dry weather in Rio Grande do Sul, the low end of the estimates are at about 178 million metric tons, pretty much where I'm at right now. They're coming down towards my estimates. But that still opens up the idea that we need the bean oil to keep this market running higher. We need to feed the bull in the bean oil at this stage after the Agricultural Outlook Conference. And so what we saw in 2018, and this is again under Section 2, you've got a story that says soybeans climb as U.S. tells partners to honor trade commitments. You notice that was in the morning this morning at about a little before 11 o'clock Central Time. We were making those big moves up. It wasn't all about that, though. It was about, and this is where it, that's a great story, and it's an accurate story, but it's about soybean oil, and it's about China, India, Indonesia. What got us to these levels? It was the trade in diesel, biodiesel and soybean oil export potential with these bilateral trade agreements, along with our domestic EPA usage and expectations, which are now known in the market after the Agricultural Outlook Forum late last week. So that's true, that first story. But if you scroll down after the overlay and comparison of May 2026 beans versus May 18, 2018 beans, there is a second more important story that comes from Asia that says China reacts to U.S. ruling with the call for Trump to scrap unilateral tariffs. Analysts expect short-term boost for exports as Beijing vows to protect interests. Notice what's happened here, and this is where I'm heading. I really think with President Trump heading to China, they're going to feel like they have the upper hand because he's going to be in their country. He lost the tariff ruling. And I think however it plays out, if China ends up looking better, then the rest of Asia will probably try and follow China's lead. And so I'm really very much back in the mindset that since the Supreme Court made, and I'm no lawyer, but I think it was a poor ruling on the tariffs, that other countries will follow China now and that they will push hard against the United States with Trump heading over there in person. And again, the Agricultural Outlook meeting did not, in my opinion, feed the renewable biofuel bull. And I think the other thing that really speaks to me, and I didn't include this in today's charts, I'll do it some other day, but I just didn't want to pile on too much, but we still have about a $40 a ton premium in U.S. beans against southern Brazil. And with the northern Brazil ports coming on, I would guess that might even get bigger because of the transportation costs being cheaper to get the beans to the northern ports. And so I really do feel like China is not going to buy U.S. beans at this stage at these prices. I would also throw in there that we have the fund length very heavily weighted towards long bean, short corn. The Friday Commitment of Traders showed 163,000 plus futures and options managed money people, money managed money funds, plus 163,000 on soy, minus 27,000 corn. That 163 on soybeans at their net long futures and options, that compares to the November high of last year of 229,000. They bought about 40,000 tons a week. So theoretically, if they wanted to get back to that November high, that would take about 2 weeks to do that. And so what I want to do here is get the hedges in place so we don't lose premium because we're very, very profitable in the soybeans. I'm not going to address acres because maybe we won't add that many more soybean acres than what USDA gave us at 85 million if we see China not buy the beans and farmers will go ahead and make late address late changes. But one thing I don't really buy, and I haven't looked at the numbers, and these are smart people that are crunching the numbers that are saying this, but I with the fertilizer costs, I just really wonder whether we're going to rely much upon the bridge payments, because that's the going theory is that the government bridge payments are going to plant more corn acres because farmers are gunning for a third bridge payment this year. I'm not so sure anybody's really thinking about that. I've not heard any of you guys tell me that or gals tell me that. So tell me if that's a solid piece of analysis in your cost of production flows, because I'm not seeing it right now. Okay, so that explains where we're at on the hedges. Now go to section number three, and this is about the biodiesel bullishness and how it can continue. And I already talked about that, whether it could or not. We need it to at this stage because we're hitting some key trend lines now after making another new high today early on, but then that high was pulled back. And so as soon as we, and this is a really crucial, these are really two crucial charts because you may be saying to yourself, well, why in the world are you just buying puts? Why don't you do unlimited risk? I'm sick of buying puts. They never make me money, et cetera, et cetera. Well, because we have Iran out there and we have that situation where the crude and the soft red wheat are back to about an 86% positive price relationship over the last 4 weeks. And they really came together last week. And so if we have crude go up sharply higher, wheat follows, does that pull the corn and beans with it? That's why I'm doing the puts. And what I'm talking about here is that like, and let's go back up to section two and look at the soybean chart for 2026 May versus 2018. Notice what we did in the very first part of March. We went down about 10%. We went essentially from 1084 down to 985. We went down about 10% in roughly a month, month and a half. And so that's what I'm hedging against so that we have open-ended to the downside, open-ended profitability if we would have a very sharp fall. And so now going back to section three, two key charts that I'll be watching here is the soybean oil weekly chart and whether it goes through the white trend line and whether those stochastics, which I optimized to not give a sell signal on the last buy signal, they stayed in a buy signal with this last move up on the weekly soybean oil chart. But if that would give a sell signal, that'd be the first one of 2026. I would take that very seriously. And that would obviously probably mean that we've gone through and taken out the white support line trend line. I would also be looking, and I think this is why I'm sticking with the front end puts like May and July puts, or May and July off of the November futures, is that the downside potential I think is greatest now, similar to 2028, but also just similar to last year when we had a March premium against November beans. And then we took that out very, very quickly. If you go back to 2025 in that March Nov bean chart, you see we got up to about where we were, where we are right now, and we got even higher than that last November. But then all of a sudden, between the February time period of last year and as we got into May, we ended up going back to a slight negative. In a slight carry in soybeans. So I think this chart, and it would make sense with the big Brazilian crop, uncertain new crop acres, and the Chinese, if they don't buy, and with the premium we have in our prices against Brazil, it would make sense that the front end would collapse to the new crop, and we go back to a carrying charge market like we are in corn and like we are in the soybeans. So that's where I'm at on the soybean hedges. I hope I covered most of the most of the bases. But what I was going to say was, if I see that weekly oil chart give a sell signal, go through the trend line, and I'm right about the bull spread breaking down in soybeans, then I'll look at selling calls against those bought puts or shorting futures with the stop. And I promise that I will look at that and promise that I will recommend that if I feel confident after we get through the Iran-US issue. Turning to the cattle, I'm a little bit frustrated with these feeder cattle. They haven't really performed very well all month long in February. We had a decent cattle on feed report in terms of on feed at 98%, and the placements were down where I wanted them to be. A little bit weak on the marketings, but I don't think that was about today's trade. I think today's trade was really more about the lack of the cash early on, and also more importantly, maybe the fact that we got the cattle and feed report out of the way, and then the stock market started to really break down. And so what I did, similar to what I did with the soybean oil chart, in section four, you'll see a cattle chart. The cash market is the red line. The lead month futures is the blue line. And down below that is I did another stochastic that I optimized that it did not give a sell signal since that correction that we had back in late last year. And so all the zigzagging around in the cattle market, that has been optimized so we don't have a sell signal. If I would get a sell signal in that fat cattle chart, and if the monthly feeders would take out their current low, that would be an issue for me. And I think that would especially be key if we took out, the last couple 3 months of lows in the feeders on the S&P 500's breaking through its current monthly low of around 70, 6750 area. I don't think that this market wants to go lower because of the tight supplies, but again, it goes back to what the funds do, and it goes back to 2014, 2015, and the domestic market. And I'm trying to be very, very sensitive to hedging here because I don't want you to get the impression that I'm not seeing what's going on out there on the supply side. And on that vein, section five, I've got an article about ranchers seeing their feed go up in smoke, literally, with the wildfires in the Oklahoma-Kansas border. So I'm very sensitive to that. But if I could see the likelihood of a 10 or 20% correction in feeders and fats, I've got to tell you about it so that you can make your determination on whether you want to attack that and go after it, especially given how profitable we are. So here in cattle, I would be looking at potentially doing unlimited risk positions. Because we can keep our marketings very close, and we can do just March through June marketings where it's most profitable. And then if we have to margin up or deal with problems with the futures going up against us, at least then we'll have our marketings coming, our cash marketings coming very, very soon after that. What I'm thinking of is maybe doing a bought put against two short calls, looking at a true futures position when it comes to the delta or the sensitivity of the number of contracts being like a futures position, but doing that three-way option spread with a hefty commission discount so that if we would have limit up, we would maybe have a better chance of getting out of some of those positions as opposed to living with limit up moves for some reason that could be coming down the pike. I don't want to be caught in that just so we don't get pushed out of our hedges because, as I said, if we can stay with the hedges, then we'll have the cash marketings right behind it. So, if that makes sense to you, let me know. If it doesn't, please give me a call on anything that I've talked about tonight if it doesn't make sense. Thanks, everybody.